Now, is anyone here who likes tongue twisters? Most people are shaking their heads. Well, one of my favourites is Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked? You like that one? By the way, does anyone know the answer? Where did Peter Piper put the pickled peppers? No. No one knows the answer, it seems. Anyway, tongue twisters. Well, they're called tongue twisters, aren't they? Because of the difficulty in pronouncing them. We have a sequence of words that are difficult to get out of our mouths. And we often end up with our tongues twisted in knots. Now, speaking of tongue twisters, anyone here reckon they're good at doing them? I reckon we need to have a bit of a test this morning, a bit of a competition, a tongue twister speaking competition. We need at least three people. Anyone want to volunteer, first of all? Kit's pretty good. Okay, he's been volunteered. Kit, down the front here, but we need two other people. Who's good at talking? Like, whose words just keep coming out of their mouths and almost if it's non-stop kind of thing? Who? Brendan? Who's been nominated? Okay, Brendan, you can come out the front here. And we need one other person. It has to be a girl, I think. There's going to be prizes here. Is Sandra here? Okay. All right. So we're going to see how people go. And I'll give you a piece of paper here. And what you guys have to do is you've got 30 seconds or so. You have to go outside that door and just wait outside, right? But you can sort of try and have a go. 30 seconds.
So what do I have to do?
Just waiting out there and we'll call you in for the competition, right? So this is just like pre-test.
We'll have a look at it.
Yeah, you're allowed to have a look at it, and you practice it amongst yourselves or something like that, okay? All right, they've got 30 seconds. Now, we've got some prizes here, but also this is going to be the tongue twister that they're going to do. It's from Dr. Seuss's book, Fox in Socks, all right? Now, how are we going to work out first, second, and third prizes? I'm sort of thinking the amount of applause at the end, do you think? Yeah? Is that the best way of doing it? Or do we need to have some judges to work it out? What do you reckon? Applause at the end? Okay, applause at the end. So remember, the more applause, that means the higher the prize they get. Okay. All right, we'll bring in our first subject. Okay, can you come in now? Now, I'm going to collect your pieces of paper, right? Because otherwise it's not going to be fair for the first person. So we'll close this door here. Brendan and Sandra are going to wait outside as Kit comes in. All right. Stand in the middle here. This is a piece of paper, right? So you can use a piece of paper.
Okay.
All right. One, two, three.
Two, three, cheese, trees, three, please, three, please, blue, while these fleas blue, freezy breeze blue, freezy breeze made these three trees freeze, freezy trees made these trees cheese freeze, that's what made these three flea fleas sneeze.
Okay. All right, not too bad, not too bad. Okay, Sandra? I think though it can be bettered. Anyway, we'll see. Right, Sandra, we have to close the door just so that Brenda doesn't hear, you know. He might be memorising it as he's out there. Okay? Okay, after three, ready? One, two, three.
Three cheese, freeze, three, free, fleas, blue, while these fleas do freezy, breezy, blue. Freezy breeze made these three trees freeze. Freezy trees made these trees cheese freeze. That's what made these three flea fleas sneeze.
Woo! Oh! That's pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, Brendan. Is this the man with the mouth? We'll see. The pressure's on. Here in the middle, here in the middle.
I heard a lot of cuts, man.
Yeah, Sandra wasn't too bad, I thought. Okay, after three, ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Free, free, cheese, cheese, free, free, freeze, free, while these freeze, free, freezy, breeze, blue, freezy, breeze, made these free, trees, freeze, freezy, trees, made these trees, cheese, freeze, that's what made these free, free, freeze, these.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we need to just invite our three friends out the front again, just for the prizes, right? This is the prize-giving ceremony. Now, question is, I think for the third prize, what do you think amongst yourselves in terms of the amount of applause that people received? Brendan, do you think? Big Brendan? All right, Brendan, you get this orange one here.
Oh, man.
Can you pick the orange one? Okay.
Thank you.
And then after that, who do you reckon came second in terms of applause? I think it would have to be Kit. Okay. Well, you actually do. You get this mixture here of green and yellow.
Oh, I've got two.
Notice how they're twisted together.
Ah.
Yeah? All right. And Sandra, round of applause for Sandra, the winner of the tongue twister test. Okay. Well done to Sandra. Now, tongue twisters, obviously they're fun to try, but maybe some of you might be thinking, if you were in that competition, you're probably thinking a little bit like how Mr. Knox from Fox in Socks was thinking when he said, "I can't blab such blibber blubber, my tongue isn't made of rubber." Well, we now know that Sandra's tongue, is it made of rubber? Comes pretty close. But whether you like tongue twisters or not, from a biblical point of view, a tongue that twists and turns like a viper, ejecting poison into its victims through hurtful or untruthful words, is a tongue, we're told, that will one day be dealt with. And we see this in Proverbs 10, verse 31, where Solomon contrasts the mouth of the righteous with the tongue that turns around in its mouth, perverting the truth, whether that be moral truth or historical truth. In contrast to the tongue which is perverted, we see that Solomon talks about the mouth of the righteous, and he describes the mouth of the righteous as being like a fertile garden that bears the fruit of wisdom. Now, from a biblical point of view, remember that the righteous are those who serve God. The righteous are those who respond fundamentally positively to God's word. It's because they've got God's word written on their heart, and that's something that the Holy Spirit has done. When God's Spirit writes his word on our hearts, then we're naturally going to respond. Often that response, because of our sinful nature, won't be perfect, but nevertheless, there's going to be some kind of fundamental positive response. God's word is going to have an effect in the lives of the righteous. And as a result of having God's word in your heart, then the righteous are those who understand something of God's wisdom. And something of God's wisdom will also be reflected in how they live and how they talk. So Solomon is reminding us here that the mouth of the righteous bears the fruit of wisdom. And that's something important for us to stop and consider today, to think about how we speak and the content of the words that we use. Are you, as a Christian, are you concerned with the words that you speak? Are you careful when it comes to speaking to others? God wants us to speak wisely. He wants to see the wisdom that's reflected in his word in the Bible emanating from our mouths. Now, keep in mind that our words can have a profound effect on people. And to illustrate this today, Brendan is going to give us an example of some words of wisdom that someone shared with him and its effect.
Hi, everyone. So as Steve said, he asked me to talk to you guys about one time where someone's words of wisdom have kind of helped me out. And one I chose was when I was in year six, so a fair while back now. But I was finishing year six, and it was our last assembly at school. It was a great assembly, so just all the U6 kids. And it was our last assembly before we went into high school. And I remember one of the teachers was talking to us, and they said something for some reason. It wasn't really particularly profound or anything, but it just stuck with me. And they said, they asked us to have a look around at the people next to us. And we had a look around. Obviously, we saw our friends, our U6 friends, and like how we're going to go to high school. She said, if you look around, according to or like statistics, about half of you guys won't be Christians by the time you leave high school. And we looked around and couldn't really believe it. I remember I couldn't really believe it at the time. I was like, surely. And she said, so according to the stats, half of you won't be Christian by the time you leave high school, so make sure you're part of that other half. And like I said, at the time, I didn't really think that it was going to happen. But looking back now that I've left high school and almost leaving uni, it's actually true what she said, that a lot of the friends that I had from year six, and now they've left, they're sadly, some of them have walked away, some of them maybe just off the path. But I think what she said that day, looking back, it's helped me and kind of helped me persevere. And yeah, so that's something that stuck with me for a few years now.
Okay, thanks for that, Brendan. As you can see from that, it was probably just something that the teacher said. She might not have thought really about the effect of her words on people like Brendan. But sometimes it doesn't have to be so profound. It can just be a simple word or two, encouraging someone on in the faith, and it can have a great effect. Words of wisdom, that's what God wants to see from us. Words that have a beneficial effect on those who are listening to us. But it's sad then when human tongues don't express wisdom, but are used to promote perversity rather than wisdom. And Solomon mentions this as well. He says that a perverse tongue is something which in the end God will deal with, but we need to think a little bit about the effects that a perverse tongue can have on people. And basically a perverse tongue is a tongue that seeks to overturn reality. It seeks to change the reality of things as God sees them. A perverse tongue speaks words, ultimately, that are harmful. And to illustrate something of the harm that negative words can have on people, Tracy is now going to share with us an example of some words that had a negative effect on her.
Hi, guys. So I'm going to talk about my first piano teacher. And some of you may have met her or known her or been taught by her. So I started playing piano when I was about 8 years old. And the first sort of couple of years were okay. It was fun and enjoyable. And then when I got to around maybe about 11 or 12, her personality sort of changed a bit and her teaching style sort of changed. She became quite harsh in how she taught, and the feedback that she would give us, it was quite mean and it wasn't constructive. And it got to a point every Saturday where I would just like burst out in tears before I went to piano classes, and I really didn't want to go. My mum would be like, just go, you know, it's only an hour, it's going to be fine. And I would really be just like, actually just like physically scared of her. Like I really emotionally couldn't deal with what she could say to me, or, you know, she would get angry at me because I didn't practice enough and things like that. So, yeah, our relationship was, I guess you could say it was quite rocky towards the end of it. So that sort of mentally affected me, I think, in terms of playing piano and having a passion for it. It sort of drifted away. And it was a quite an odd time in my life. But thankfully, I got connected with a new piano teacher. And she was a Christian. And the way that she taught was quite loving. And she helped me to get involved in church music ministry as well. So two different interesting approaches to teaching, and yeah, had quite a negative effect on me. Definitely affected the way that I saw how to approach music and how to approach it in a church setting as well.
Yeah, Tracy. Yeah, sometimes we don't think about the effect of our words on others, do we? But words can be like deadly weapons if we're not careful. In fact, the book of James tells us that the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And it's sad that throughout human history, many people have been hurt and harmed by the words of others. And probably, I'd say, it's probably happened to you as well. You can think of something that someone said to you that has been quite harmful. Now, it is sad when things like that happen, but Proverbs also reminds us that God will deal with people whose tongues are perverse. One day, we're told, such tongues will be cut off. Like a poisonous snake that is cut in two with a single blow of a sword or knife, so too God will deal with every person whose tongue promotes perversity rather than wisdom. So friends, what kind of tongue do you have? A tongue that produces wisdom or a tongue that promotes perversity? Now verse 31 talks about mouths and tongues, and it's interesting that verse 32 talks about mouths too, but also about lips. We're told that the lips of the righteous know what is pleasing or acceptable. The righteous who serve God know the kind of words that are pleasing to God and beneficial to those who hear. And that contrasts greatly with the mouth of the wicked that knows only perversity. When you think about it, the human tongue really is an amazing organ of the human body, composed of 8 muscles, 4 changing its shape and 4 acting to change its position. The human tongue can produce an amazing variety of sounds and words. Just think about the variety of all of the languages out there, different types of sounds that the human tongue can help to create. But amongst all of those words, how many of those words are words of wisdom? And that's the question that I'd like each one of us to think about for ourselves. The things that we say, how wise are our tongues? How many of the words that we speak are words of wisdom? When we open our mouths, do we really think about what is most beneficial to the people that we're talking to? If we're people who know how beneficial God's words are to us, then we should be thinking about how beneficial our words are to others. The way we speak is very important to God. So let's endeavour to speak wisdom rather than foolishness. Let's endeavour in God's strength to be people who speak what's good rather than evil. For in the end, we're given a warning here. Everyone who uses their tongue for perverse purposes will be dealt with. That stands as a warning to every person who would twist the truth with their tongue. So, tongue twisters, be warned.